Hello, it's me, Mr. Chaz, and what you're about to listen to is a conversation with me and the situational therapist talk about spanking and corporal punishment. We dive deep into the topic and talk about our journey, about how we approach talking about the topic. If you've been on TikTok, you've probably noticed that we have had two different approaches in how we talk about this topic, but today we come together and talk about it together. I hope this is helpful. And I want to take this time to make you aware of the online course that I have available for a 33% discount all the way up until June 5th. So if you don't want to end up paying more for the online course to figure out what to do instead of spanking your kids, instead of yelling at them, then get the online course today. The link for it is in the show notes to help you find a healthy and effective way to guide children.
What's my name? What's my name? What's my name?
What kind of, because you approached me to kind of have this conversation, and I'm curious as what kind of sparked that thought to have this conversation
from right. So, you know, I've been seeing your content for a very long time. Whenever I first started my TikTok journey, a lot of my content was spanking is abuse. Please stop hitting your kids. And I just wasn't very nice about it. And one thing that I really enjoyed about your content is that you had a level of patience about this topic that I just, not that I could not have, but I just wasn't interested in having. And so to see you be so patient about it and talk about it in such, you know, I know that people are at different places in their life on this journey of you like not assaulting their children and like even using language like not assaulting their children. Like I have very limited patience for it. And just seeing how patient you are, I just wanted to talk with you and just, you know, one, see where you get that patience from, but two, have a different opportunity to see and engage with someone who is having this conversation in a way that, you know, it needs to be had, because I think there's a very specific demographic of people that you're going to reach, and there's a very specific demographic of people that I'm going to reach, and I just thought it would be really nice for us to kind of have a little conversation together and, you know, see what we might learn from each other.
Man, that was beautiful. Well, let's go ahead and get started. And okay, let me ask you, because, you know, on that note, for me, it was really reflecting on my journey, because I didn't always believe that spanking was harmful as I believe it to be right now. And so I'm wondering about your journey. Like, when did you always have this spanking is abuse, spanking is assault kind of focus mentality, or did something change? Like, where what was that like for you?
So when I was growing up, my mother hit me a lot. She hit me a lot. It was consistent. I know a lot of people say I can remember the four or five spankings that I got. I can't count how many times. It was at least two or three times a week for various things. Sometimes they were warranted, which none of them are. And then sometimes she was just emotionally dysregulated and angry, and she needed someone to take it out on. So as a child, the coping skill that I developed, which is one that we see a lot in people who have this conversation to this day, is I told myself I deserved it. I was a bad child. I should have listened. The phrase that, you know, thankfully my therapist has helped me work through is you should have known better. That one phrase and being hit, you should have known better, stay in a child's place, I'll show you better than I can tell you. Like, I remember them all, because that would be the things that she would say whenever she was hitting me. And so, like, for a very long time, I simply internalized that I deserved it. You know, I was a bad child. I was doing something wrong. When now, as an adult and as a licensed therapist, I simply realized my mother was just hitting me, one, because she was frustrated, but two, because she had a neurodivergent child that she didn't know what to deal with. Three, on top of the influence of the church. The church is a big reason why a lot of people are out here assaulting their children. And so it really took me, like, growing older. It wasn't until I've always known that I did not like it. And when I was in school getting my degree as a therapist is when I started learning more about the role of trauma and those interactions in our life and how those things can show up. But it really wasn't until around the coronavirus pandemic, during that time of isolation, that I really, like, said out loud, without feeling ridiculous about it, that spanking is abuse. Like, it was like a light bulb moment for me. You know, during coronavirus, a lot of us took some time to spend time with ourselves and learn things about ourselves and Just you had no other choice. And I just remember sitting there thinking about it. And I actually got in contact with a therapist just randomly on Twitter because I made a post, I made a tweet about it somewhere. I think it was something like, I'm finally ready to say it, and I know I'm going to get in trouble for this. I know I'm going to get burned for it, but saying that spanking is abuse. And a lot of people, I won't go too far into this right now, but a lot of people don't realize how ostracizing that is, how separate from Black community you will be for saying that spanking is abuse. It's an extremely lonely thing. But this person actually got me in contact, well, not in contact, but told me about Dr. Stacy Patton, and I got her book, Spare the Kid. And when I tell you, Chaz, I cried. I cried. I have never read a book from beginning to end nonstop like that, just in tears, because I was like, finally. And a Black woman is saying it. Oh my God, finally. I stand Dr. Stacy Patton for the rest of my life. But I hit my brother when I was younger. I used to take care of my younger brother. And that was something that I employed when he wouldn't listen to me. And having that conversation with him and apologizing to him for doing those things when I was younger was one of the hardest things I think I've ever had to do. But for me, it was during the time of the pandemic, I was just finding out my truth. And that was a truth that came up for me. And ever since then, I've been saying it as loud as I can say it to as many people who would listen to me.
So, okay, let me ask you this. You kind of had the light bulb moment, coronavirus. You read the book. That was a life-changing moment for you. It sounded like you were kind of maybe inching towards that, though. Was it just the book where you like, what if someone, let me ask you this, I guess, let me ask in a different way. If 2018, right, you were on TikTok and you saw someone say spanking is abuse, spanking is assault. How do you think you would have responded or reacted? What do you think you would have thought about that in 2018?
I really honestly believe I was just waiting for someone to give me permission to be okay with it. Because up until that point, whenever I saw people spank, like I would get in trouble at family reunions for telling people to stop hitting their kids. Like I was the one that would say something about it. So I think for me, it would have emboldened me. It would have given me like, okay, finally, I'm not because again, I don't think people understand. It really feels very lonely to say this truth. Like it feels like you're the only person in the world that believes this because the people who believe otherwise are so loud about it and they have so much community and they have so many other people backing them up whenever they say things like this. So I think that if I would have saw something like that in 2018, I would have just started my platform a lot faster. I really do. I really think, and I've seen now that it is not that lonely. There are a lot of people out there that believe the same. And it is work that needs to be done, but it was a gradual progression. And once that happened, there just was no going back. And it made everything in my life make so much sense. I do not have an anxiety disorder. I do not have major depression. My mother used to hit me all the time. My body has been broken from years and years of physical abuse. And that's hard for some people to say. That's hard for some people to admit to, but it's just the truth. And I really think a lot of us would be a lot better off, would be doing a lot better in our lives if we could stop and admit that people are out here trying to solve the wrong problem. The problem is that you are not acknowledging that the things that happened to you when you're younger had a profound effect on the way that you behave now. So for me, it was also a thing of freedom. Oh my God, the freedom that I can't tell you. I felt like I was floating in my front room when I said that out loud. I'm not broken. It was never me. It was not, I don't have a chemical imbalance. I'm a victim of child abuse. And like, it's not a great thing to admit, but at least I have a context for my behaviors now. At least I have a context for the things that I was experiencing.
Right. And so is that why you are so loud about it? And you're because is that one, it sounds like you felt alone before you said it, and then is it because you don't want other people to be alone? You want other people to relate, to know that they're not alone. And you don't want people to feel the way that you felt before you said it out loud. Is that kind of like
Right. And it depends on who we're talking to. Like, for one, there's a couple of reasons why I said it. Number one, I don't want people out here thinking that they are mentally ill when that's not what's going on. Like, it's abuse. Like, we have the adverse childhood experiences surveys, and spanking definitely is one of those things that will get you ranked up there. It is abuse, and people need to know that so they stop trying to treat the wrong thing. There are a lot of people out here who simply are suffering from PTSD and emotional dysregulation, and they're getting diagnosed with bipolar disorder. They're getting diagnosed with manic depression. They're getting diagnosed with all of these things that are unnecessary. If they would just, they can't even begin to conceptualize that the experiences that they had were abusive. And so they're out here searching for a solution to the wrong problem. What's wrong with me? Absolutely nothing. You experienced significant abuse in your childhood, and you're unwilling to acknowledge that. So that's one reason why I say it. And then the second reason, of course, is I don't want people to feel like they're alone in doing it. There are some situations that you can get into. For example, if you have a mother who knows that hitting her child is wrong, and then she lets her child go to the grandparents and the grandparents hit them, like, I need that person to know, like, it is okay to separate yourself from those people. It's okay. I know that there are plenty of parents who don't hit their kids, and they have to deal with going to friend groups or hanging out with people who think that it's okay. And, like, they need to know that there are people out there, professionals, that there are individuals that have their back and that are saying that these things are not what the people in their immediate circles might be saying. So a lot of it is validation, and a lot of it is I just want people to know what's actually going on with them. I don't want them thinking that they are broken, or they were born broken, or that whatever it might be. No, let's take a look at these experiences, specifically being hit as a kid. I feel like that's important to discuss.
Yeah. And for me, I think about kind of my journey and how I got to not believing in spanking and believing that spanking is, I agree that spanking is abuse. I tend to not say it outright just like that, because I know that once you say it, it triggers people, and it closes people off to any more information, and they can't hear anything else other than the fact that you labeled spanking and corporal punishment as abuse. But for the record, I will say that I also do believe that spanking is abuse as well. And so, and so for me, I grew up, it's just the way, of course, it was just the way that I was raised. That's what everyone else was doing. And then I started working with children. And I started working in a kind of a Montessori classroom. And there were people who were still using a lot of fear-based methods and strategies with children, even in the Montessori. But in learning about Montessori, Maria Montessori was really big on respecting children as full people. And so I started to see children as full people because I was learning about Montessori. And then being with children, I started to see so many similarities, because for the most part, you're kind of like, once you get out of like childhood, you're kind of cut off from children. You're not really with children, I think, in modern society as much as we kind of have been in the past. And so it wasn't until I was really working with children, really with children, till I could really see them as full humans. And I'll say that before, if what else are you going to do? If their kids are kids and if they don't listen to you, then what else can you do other than to hit them or to put fear to their hearts to get them to comply? And again, have the mentality it's for their own good. But then what happened is, when I started to do that, I started to realize, like, it didn't feel good. Like, I started to kind of have those flashbacks of just like when adults would kind of use the fear-based strategies on me. And as a kid growing up with ADHD, I received a lot of it, right? I received the spanking from my teachers. Well, not spankings from my teachers, but I received all the kind of like the threats and punishments from my teachers constantly, and the spankings, threats and punishments from my parents. And I recognized how that felt, and I didn't want to be that person. I didn't want to be that teacher. And so then I went to find different ways to guide children. And even when I recognized, like, this is harmful, like using these fear-based strategies, spanking included, is harmful to children, it still took time for me to learn what to do instead. Because I mean, it's easy to recognize, like, okay, you read the book, spanking is harmful, spanking is abuse. It's easy to say that. It's much harder to figure out what to do instead, right? Yeah. And that is what I try to, the reason why I'm so patient with parents because one, I recognize the challenge it takes to overcome all of that because the spanking and the abuse isn't just, and as you know, it isn't just like it's in your body, right? It's like programmed in your body. So to respond, to learn to respond differently when you perceive disrespect, like, is a difficult process to go through. You know, it's one thing to heal, and then it's another thing to have someone pushing your buttons, your triggers that, again, probably put in because of your fear, the way that you were raised and all the fear-based environment that you grew up in. But it's difficult to figure out what to do next. And I believe, and from my perspective, I believe that for parents to learn to do better, just like children, for children to learn to do better, they need the safety and connection of a relationship, right? And they need to feel seen and understood so that they can feel safe enough to try something different, to go out of their comfort zone, to do this, what I would say, connection-based strategies as opposed to fear-based strategies. And so that is why I am tend to be patient. One, because I just know the struggle for myself to kind of overcome all that stuff that is literally programmed in my body. And then two, I think the when you say spanking is abuse, it brings up defense mode. And then I can't give you the strategies you actually need to stop hitting your kids.
Right. And that makes a lot of sense. You know, for me, a couple of things. One, when I say spanking is abuse, it's abuse to the person doing it too. You're abusing yourself as you're doing it as well. I think that that's a point that people missed out on whenever I was talking about this, because there are a lot of parents that will spank their kids and then they will feel immediately guilty about it. And they put themselves in this cycle where they do that over and over and over again. So that's one. And then two, like, I agree with you, it does cause some people to shut down. And I believe, like, that's the, you know, the difference between the demographics that I'm talking about, because some people, I need your attention. I need you to be shocked that I told you that you're being abusive. I need to get you out of what you're doing, because what will happen is I'll say that spanking is something that you shouldn't do. Oh, they're not talking to me. No, I'm talking to you. The Bible thumping Pentecostal Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light. Like, I need your attention, because then there are some places where I say spanking is abuse so that there's an adult in some kid's life where they know that this is happening. They can call the people that need to be called to take care of it, because some of it, these kids need to be taken out of the homes. I'm sorry. I just have a lived experience where I need it. I wish an adult, the psychiatrist, the therapist, somebody would have stepped in and took me out of that environment. So I do understand it does shut people down to hear it. And I know that there's a specific situation that I'm speaking to that doesn't get talked about out loud enough. And someone, an adult in that situation with that child, needed to hear that so that they could rescue, set that child free from that environment. And for the most part, though, you know, I do think that most people, if you take time, build a relationship with them, mirror the same type of relationship with them that they're supposed to have with their children, I absolutely think that they can change. I know people can change. I know that it's something that can change. And that's one of the reasons why I stopped talking about it so much. I talk about it every now and then, and I focus on it a little bit differently. But yelling is abuse too. And I know that I would yell at parents for hitting their kids. I know that I did. I have tons of content where I was yelling at the top of my lungs. And it's kind of paradoxical to tell you that spanking is abuse, but then I'm using an abusive method to communicate it to you. So I realized I'm incapable of communicating this without getting upset. So I'm just going to stop talking about it or find another way to do it. And that's been why I've kind of pulled back from it some, because we do need people to be patient with parents who just don't know any better. And a lot of the times it's not even that they don't know. Their emotional systems, their nervous systems are dysregulated. Their nervous systems are damaged from the spanking they received as kids. They have no idea how to begin to even understand this, because the very first thing that happens when it's, they get triggered. Like, it's not that they need education. They need therapy. You know, they need treatment for the damage that has been done to their body. You know, some people need education, but a lot of people's nervous systems are just damaged. They are damaged. They are dysregulated, and they need to go get treatment for that before they can ever begin to calm down in those situations.
I agree. And you know, I've been following you for a while too. Just we're too, like, talking about spanking and
yeah, it's not very many.
We're gonna pop up on each other's algorithms,
right?
And you know, I think that, you know, I agree with you that there is there's definitely a certain demographic people we need to hear it the way that you say it too. And so, I'm not downing the way that you communicate. I think that sometimes people do need to be shocked. There are moments that people do need to be shocked. And I think that social media is tricky because you don't know you're talking to such a variety of people, variety of situations, journeys, moments. And so you never know who you're reaching. And one message could be life-changing for someone and be really helpful for someone. And also, could feel harmful for another person. So
absolutely.
I'm definitely not downing you, but I'm curious.
Oh, no. I didn't think you were. I didn't think you were at all. I want to clarify. I didn't think you were at all. I think that I just wanted to say kind of that piece to it to explain that, it wasn't just one. And you didn't say this, but it wasn't just wanton anger. I mean, as a therapist, I'm well aware that people are going to get different messages from it. Some of it was just wanton anger, to be fair and to be honest. But I did just want to point out that, I'm well aware that, and not that you weren't saying I wasn't aware, but I know that some of it was harsh. And I think that I know that the way that you are doing it will work in all situations. The way I'm doing it only works in a few. And I really think that that's kind of the point that I'm making. And you really inspired me to take a seat back and take a second back and decide okay, so if I'm really going to do this work, then I have to do this work in a way that is, going to reach the most people. And I came to the conclusion that I just don't have, maybe when I'm a millionaire, then I'll have the patience to do it. You know what I'm saying? But right now it's just for the vibes. It's just not enough.
Okay. So hold on. Okay. So, you said that you felt incapable of talking about this subject without getting upset. Mm-hmm. Right. And so that feeling that you feel you felt triggered by it because it brings up some stuff for you, right? Those are the same. I think about it's the same thing for the parents who are unable to have this conversation, who are able to deal with a child disrespecting them or saying no to them or whatever. And so they are feeling capable. But I don't think that you are. Any parent is incapable of self-regulation and responding as opposed to reacting. And I don't think that you were necessarily reacting. I think that you were kind of very conscious. I think also too, I think what you said is very valid in terms of to make sure that other people don't feel alone when you say that spanking is abuse, because I think that a lot of times, even when I know there are people who I see even in my comment section, when I am, someone's doing something harmful and I take an empathetic approach to it, who are really upset. Why are you not, why are you not attacking this person like they should be, because they're really harming this child? And then there's the other part of me, because I want to be clear about this too, because I don't, currently, my approach is empathetic, more empathetic than what it was before. If you really actually scroll down to my first videos, and they're a little shoddy, but it's a little bit more of the approach that you were taking of spanking as abuse and kind of just putting it out there. And so I gotta also say that in doing this work and also kind of getting the feedback and kind of recognizing how people were reacting, I took some constant reflection, and I've kind of adjusted. I'm a work in progress too. I've been working towards being more empathetic rather than judgmental, because the other part of me is just the way that I think about it is that as I came to recognize that spanking was harmful and all these fear-based strategies were harmful, I recognized that it was just adults not knowing or not caring enough to do the work to figure out actually how to communicate to this child. And it was just because I don't have the skills, but it also kind of felt like you don't care enough to go get the skills to do the healing. And so instead, we're just going to exert our power on this defenseless, this child who can't speak up for themselves. And if they do, they're easily dismissed. And so that part of me, that part that wants to stand up for the child who can't stand up for themselves, feels exactly the way that you do and wants to really attack those parents and teachers, because teachers are just as culpable as well, for attacking the children. So I definitely feel that like upsetness, that triggeredness when I see adults use their exert right. power over children instead of healing.
And I think a lot of this has to do with like social media as well. If you sat a parent down in front of me and had me have a conversation, I wouldn't need to raise my voice. Like, and I think that's the thing that I had to remind myself. Like, if any parent on the internet, anyone that hit their, and I have a video of this on my YouTube channel. It's one of the biggest videos I have where I sat down calmly and explained it. Like, if you're sitting in front of me, I know that I'm right. Like, that's where a lot of the anger and stuff went away from me. Like, I know that I'm right. Like, there's not an argument that you can give me. There's nothing that you can say that will ever make hitting a child okay, ever. And every single situation you bring up to me, I will be able to explain to you specifically, objectively, and measurably how the parent is at fault for it happening in the first place. And so, not to blame, but like the behavior, there was an Instagram called Dear Fathers, and I'm really disappointed with this Instagram because it's an Instagram that's supposed to be for Black men in their relationships with their sons. And some of the top rated videos on this Instagram are jokes about the fathers hitting their sons. And this Instagram has over 90,000 followers. I'm extremely disappointed with it. But one of the things that came up for me was there was a comment where a man said, well, nowadays these kids are out here beating up on their parents. And I just simply explained to him, I promise you that you started hitting that kid way before they ever started hitting you. I promise you that that's where it started. And so like there is no explanation. I mean, you can give me an explanation. I get it. The legacy of slavery, we have to start there. Make sure that people understand that this behavior is not something that's just inherent in Black people. Absolutely not. This is taught and learned behavior that has been transmitted since the beginning of slavery, which is why all descendants of everybody, we deserve therapy, should be free. Number one. But then number two, you know, after we acknowledge that, then it's okay. So what are we going to do? What are we going to do to change? And it's hard. It's hard. A lot of people are under a lot of pressure. It seems like they don't have time to do it. I'm not unsympathetic to that. But yeah, I do think that part of the problem is, you know, in social media, it's very difficult to get in your mind, you know, the person who hits their kids, really doesn't want to, doesn't know any better, and will continue to do so unless you give them a good reason. Like, it's very difficult to think of, like, to me, and I've had to work on this, I'm sure that there are reasonable parents that use corporal punishment, but to me, it's unreasonable by definition. And so it's difficult for me to take a reasonable approach with them. And I'm doing better now. I'm doing much better.
So someone actually in the comments said, I need a Derek's approach to snap me out of it and can now hear both. Yeah. And so, you know, where do you go from here? Right. So, and I think I've seen a video of you saying, you know, kind of admitting that you've yelled to tell them to stop yelling and you want to, you know, change your approach a little bit. Like, where do you kind of plan? Are you going to continue talking about spanking? Are you going to?
I think the next time that I talk about it, and I'm hoping I'm putting out some seeds, what I'm really trying to manifest or ask the universe for is just the ability to take 21 days off of work. If I could just take 21 days off of work and go to a secluded location and just sit and just write, the next time I talk about it, I want it to be in a book. Because one of the things I haven't discussed about corporal punishment, and I won't get too deep into it or tell too much of my story, but something happened to me as a child and I didn't realize what had happened to me because the person told me it was a spanking. And that's why I get angry, because I know what it leads to. I know what can happen to a child underneath the pretext of spanking them. And so that's where my anger and all of that stuff comes from, because that's how it starts. And so I can't say that publicly without, I mean, becoming enraged and feeling rightfully. And so when you said earlier, like, I don't think that, you know, anyone or you cannot talk about it calmly. I know that I don't want to. Like, that's the truth. I don't want to change the way I talk about it when I think about the experience that led me, you know, to understanding, you know. And so I think the next time that I really discuss it is, again, I'm trying to manifest them 21 days. If I could just find a way, I will finish this book on it. And I think once people see it in black and white and they really understand what it is they're doing, because I've often told people, and people that know me closely, you know, saying that spanking is abuse is nice. It's really because I didn't specify what type of abuse it was, but you can definitely categorize it as a very specific type of abuse that would really upset a lot of people if I said that out loud. But it's true. It's absolutely true. It activates the same pathways in the brain as if it were that specific thing. And so I feel like I've been nice, you know, I've been really, really nice and very, very, you know, very diplomatic about it. But I think in a book where I'm free to write and free to say, I think I'll be a little bit less diplomatic, but more reasonable, because it's something where I'm writing it down. I'm taking time to go through all of my points. But I think right now, I mean, there's a digital version of me on the internet that's constantly talking about it forever in the past. I think there's a part of me that is that exists for eternity on the internet. I'm gonna let him take care. He has red hair. and he's taking care of me for me.
Okay. All right. You know, and so you plan on, you're gonna kind of just let the video stay out there, but you plan on writing a book where you can be a little bit more kind of focus and reflective and really drive the point home. Okay.
Yeah.
Any y'all, you got like a name for the book? You got like,
so I'm trying to decide, because there's three books that I have started and stopped, but started and where I just need them 3 weeks. The first one was called The Best She Could. And so I wanted to give some explanations of like my experiences growing up with maternal abuse. And I felt like that would be really, really helpful. And so I could weave it in there, because really that's the story that it's connected to. I just haven't decided if I want to separate that and then write a separate book on spanking, which I don't think that I need to. I think having the context of my mother and my experiences with her would be really, really helpful. So that's kind of where I'm at. I hadn't really thought of a specific name for the spanking book, but The Best She Could is really, because that's what you hear, you know. And it was my mom beating me regularly throughout the week was her best, and her best is the reason I'm in therapy today. So it's okay, but like I really feel like that. I feel like that's really what I want to do with it, which is why I'm continuing to manifest these 21 days of work. I just need 21 days of silence, of solitude, and I just need an internet connection, chat GPT, and a cabin in the woods, and I will be great. I'll be great, and I can pump it out.
you definitely gotta make it happen, because I'll definitely be reading the book.
Yeah.
Have another conversation about the book. I am too, since we're plugging our stuff.
Yeah, what you got?
I actually just came out with an online course that's focused on all those things. Like if you have come out of spanking, but you want to know what else to do, I just put all that stuff, all the stuff that I talk to people. I was really hesitant to put out an online course, but it's been a long time coming. I've done a lot of one-on-one stuff because I know when I can one-on-one and just get the individual stuff with people, that is the most powerful work that we can do. But I've taken a lot of that information, that stuff that people ask me over and over again,
right,
where they, you know, they let their emotions get the best of them. They do things outside of their things that are not aligned with their values, because they don't have the skills, so they just get overwhelmed. They end up spanking or yelling and doing whatever. All that stuff is in the course, so check that out, y'all. Any last things that you want to say about Spanker? Any questions you want to ask me? Because I've been kind of interviewing.
Oh, no, it's totally okay. I honestly, I'm curious, what do you do to recharge yourself after these conversations? That was one of the first reasons that I reached out to you, because like I'm not in your videos. You always come with energy. You're always there. And then there's some videos, and I have these same videos where I can tell that you were just tired. Like you're just like, man, like really, like so what do you do to, like, because it seems like it's a never-ending conversation. It seems like that it's very difficult to look into the future and see one where we don't hit our children. I know that it's there because, you know, it's been outlawed in like 66 countries that don't allow this. So I know that one day we will get there. But what do you do? Like, what keeps you motivated and hopeful? And how do you give back to yourself after having this conversation? Because it's a difficult one. I don't think people realize the energy that it takes from your body to even just have the discussion. So I'm real curious about how you, you know, give back to yourself, or what you do to kind of manage that.
One, I just recognize that it's we may not end spanking in my lifetime. And I really just see myself as someone who's just moving the needle. And I don't get caught up in trying to control what other people do. You know, I focus really on what I can do and who I can reach. And I don't really spend a lot of energy with people who, like, I spend more time with people who are on the fence. People who are like, I hear it's kind of abusive, but like, what else do you do? Like, the people who are like, I'm going to like fight you and like defend it. Like, I don't really spend a lot of time. I might make a video or so, but I'm not going to spend a lot of time arguing, going back and forth. Like, they're not ready for my message. And I'm not going to, use my energy for the people on the fence, for the people that are ready for it. Cause my goal is just to move the needle just a little bit. Right. And in my lifetime, you know, we may still be spanking children. We may still be treating children as less than, as not full people. But my hope is that we can kind of like, especially with social media, we can kind of like really make this go a little bit faster, but really just create a foundation where there's more people who are speaking up, more people who are saying, hey, there's another way. We don't have to spank our kids, and more people who are doing it. And maybe not in this generation, maybe not the next generation, but maybe three generations from now, we live in a world where a majority of children are really seen by adults and are using connection and collaborative based strategies as opposed to fear and control based strategies. So one, I spend my energy when it's most useful. And two, sometimes I have a conversation and I try to have just shut off the phone and just ignore social media, because I think another thing, the challenge of being a creator is that like, anytime you pick up your phone, even if it's not like, it's there, like the notifications are there. If you're addicted to social media, like I am, like you'll just go on TikTok unconsciously and then hear a message that will trigger you. And then you got to go down this whole, like, I can't let this go. And now I got to create a video. And an hour of my day because I try to just sometimes just shut it off and just like, there's a time for that. And there's a time where I'm just recharging. And I try to be consistent with myself in that. And those, I think those are the two big things that I do.
I appreciate you for sharing that. Yeah, thank you for sharing that with me. I think one thing I have to get better about is not arguing with people so much, because you're right. I see a message and I'm like, immediately, I thought you got that Adobe Premiere Pro. I'm typing up a script. I'm opening up, turning on cameras, putting on makeup, and you're like, I cannot let this one slide, you know? And I really appreciate that message. So we should definitely do this again, though. I think it'd be really, really awesome just to kind of check in and, you know, see how your journey is going. And I love watching your content. It's really motivating to me. I think you do a lot of things with really good humor. And I appreciate you having me on your show to talk with you today.
All right. Right back at you. I appreciate your content, too. Even the ones where you're being harsh, I'm like, ooh, you spin facts. I'm like, I wouldn't say that like that, but I feel it.
What's my name? What's my name?
Mr. Chaz.
What's